I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 John, book of 2 John. Second John, I thought I'd say chapter 1, but there's not but one chapter in it, so. But 2 John. I want you to stand, please, as we read the Word of God. Let's look at verse number 7 to begin. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer, and then after that you may be seated as we try to bring you the message for today. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege we have to be in the house of God. I thank you, Lord, for Sunday school. Thank you, Lord, for singing of the choir and the special singing. Thank you for every song, every prayer, everything's been said and done here today. I pray, God, you have gotten glory and honor and praise, and now we come time for preaching. And I ask in Jesus' name for that divine touch of God. You help us, God, that we may get our minds and hearts centered in on thy word and the truth that you have for us today. And Lord, I have a desire in my heart that I may please you. And I ask in Jesus' name for that help that only you can give. And so we pray for that anointing power of the Holy Spirit. Help us to preach. And I pray you'd open minds and hearts to receive it. And Father, today, you know where we are and you know who's here. And Father, we have folk who are away, and I pray for those men that are preaching. You bless them, help them. We have folk who are sick. I ask you to help them, those who are in bereavement. I pray for that comforting power of God to be upon them. Then, Father, today, I ask in Jesus' name, God, in this house, over each individual, God, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Help all of us, God, see ourselves like we really are. And I pray the Holy Spirit make it real to us and do a work in our hearts today. And Father, that you've laid upon our hearts, that it may be become real to us. And Father, that we'll recognize where we are and where we're headed. Thank you in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I really struggled about what to preach today, Wednesday I shared in a funeral service on But a Step Between, and I thought seriously about that message because there is but a step between all of us in death and eternity. There's just a step, and I may come back to that later, but I wanted to look at this portion of the Word of God, and I want you to call your attention, please, to verse number 8. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. And I want to pick up on that thought, a full reward, and deal with that a little bit. You remember over Matthew 25:21, the Lord here has said to one of the servants, said, well done thou good and faithful servant. And he said, you've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord, in the joy of thy Lord. And I got to thinking about that. Faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many things. And God certainly has a reward for those that serve him, are faithful to him. And that is an incentive to live holy and to be faithful in service. We certainly ought to be, because one day there will be a day that we meet God and give an account to Him. And we'll be talking about that as we go. But I want to say, before we get started into the message per se, here that John is always interested in the truth. Fact is, the Word of God is truth. Whole thing's truth, and we need to be interested in the truth. Look at verse number 1 of this chapter. And the last word in that verse is truth. Verse number 2, for the truth's sake. And then verse number 3 in the last phrase of that verse, in truth and love. And then in verse number 4, he says, I rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in truth. And so he's talking about truth. And you and I need to know the truth about life, about death. And I preach a message sometime, and a thought that I say, we need to know where we came from, what we're doing here, and where we're going. If we don't know where we came from, we certainly don't know what we're doing here. And then we don't know where we're going. But I'm glad you can know where you came from, and you can know what you're doing here and where you're going to. And so as we look at that, though, we want to break that down a little bit further and talk about the fact that we're, as God's people, saved people, are headed to the judgment seat of Christ. Now, Romans 14 and 10 talks about we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, when I talk about the judgment seat of Christ, let me quickly say this. We're not talking about the great white throne judgment, and we're not talking about the judgment during tribulation. We're not talking about the judgment of the nations at the end of the tribulation. We are talking about the judgment seat of Christ, which takes place after the rapture of the church. Jesus said in Revelation chapter number 20, verse 12, I believe it is, he said, I come quickly, my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. The judgment seat of Christ comes right after the rapture of the church. And I believe before we go to the marriage supper, we'll go by the judgment seat, and there we'll meet the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account unto him. Brother Tim alluded to this the other day, and I've said something about it recently, and I've been thinking about it somewhat in recent days, that we are a judgment-bound people. And I thank God that my judgment as a sinner is already taken care of. That's taken care of at Calvary. And I'm glad Jesus paid my sin debt in full and marked it paid, never to bring it up again. And that's settled. That's taken care of. I praise him. I thank him for that. But then I'm now realizing the fact, as a child of God, I have to face a chastening of God and that kind of judgment in this life. And God deals with us about different things in this life that we have to let him deal with us on, because we're his children. And he loves us and he cares for us. He says, those I love, I chasten. But there is a time, there will be a time, and we'll all that are saved, we'll go in rapture. When that time comes, we're going to head out of here. And I don't believe that'll be long off. Jesus is coming back. Looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad Jesus is coming again? That's our hope. That's what we look for. That's what we long for, is the fact that Jesus is coming, going to get us and take us home to be with him. What a glorious thought that is. Now, heaven, a great, glorious place, and we think about that with all rejoicing and praise that we can think about concerning heaven. Certainly we cannot even express what heaven's really like, neither can we enter in our minds or hearts what's prepared for the people of God. Fact is, if we could take it all in, we'd probably explode right now of what God has prepared for those that love him. And he's got plenty in store for us to learn days to come. But the judgment seat, I want to get in on that. I want to see that. I will be there. You will be there if you're saved. And we will give an account to God, not for salvation, but for stewardship, our faithfulness unto him, our what we did or didn't do. Now, works has nothing to do with salvation. I want to get that very, very plain, that we are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so nobody's works will get them anywhere close to heaven. Our works does not get us there. It's grace of God, and grace is that unmerited favor.
that God gives to us, and we don't deserve it. And Brother Blake said this morning in Sunday school, we deserve to go to hell, ought to go to hell. Every one of us in this house ought to go to hell. But Jesus, in his mercy and grace, went to Calvary, paid the price, and took our place so that we could go to heaven. Aren't you glad for that? Thank God. That's worth praising God about. We're saved, headed for glory, going to be there, and rejoice with him forever and forever. And it's forever, by the way. And while I'm on that, let me just plug us in. At not pretty good at plugging things in once in a while. Plug us in right here. At heaven is forever and forever and ever. There is no such thing as being there for ending time. There's no cutoff time for it. It is forever. And when the songwriter said, when we've been there 10,000 years, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began, he's saying it right. Because you can't be there forever is forever. And you sing it, sometimes people want to change that song and say, when we've been there forevermore. You can't say that because it'll never be there for, it's always on and on and on and on. And the fact is, 10,000 years is not even a correct assumption of it because there won't be any time. Time will be no more. And we'll just simply be that one eternal present in that day. I can't get over that. One eternal present, never to end, never come and cease to be. But I started on another subject I want to tell you about, but I want you to get this, that heaven is forever, and we will love and praise him as an endless age in an endless day continues on and on. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Then let's go to the opposite of that, and that's a place called hell, which we cast in the lake of fire. That's a great white throne judgment. Takes place after the tribulation is over, after the millennium is over. Then the great white throne judgment comes in Revelation chapter 20. And then people are cast into the lake of fire and burn forever and ever. The Bible says the smoke of the torment ascended up forever and ever. And there's that same word, forever and ever. It's an eternal day. It never ceases to be. It's a place called hell. I don't enjoy talking about hell. Don't thrill me to tell people that there is a hell or that they are going to hell, but I'd rather tell them about going to hell and warn them not to go to hell than to let them go to hell and never tell them anything about it. Amen. It's not pleasant. No pleasant thing about it, but let me say this to you. There is an escape from hell. Jesus made a way for us to be saved. I'm glad Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, and so we can be born in the family of God. In John 3:18, he came not in the world, condemned the world, the world through him. That's not the right word, the verse I wanted. That verse says, he came not to condemn. They that believe are not condemned, but they that believe not are condemned already. That's the verse I want. They are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I'm glad I'm not condemned. Amen. He didn't come to condemn me. He come that I might not be condemned. I'm glad I'm not. John 5:24. It talks about the fact that about him coming and that now we have eternal life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I am thankful for that. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. There is therefore, now, no, that's not right either. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Getting them all mixed up this morning, but I'll get them. Hang on. It's still the Word of God. I'm glad that we're justified by faith and there's no condemnation. But Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And I say amen to that. I'm glad, praise God, I'm not walking according to flesh but according to Spirit. There's no condemnation. They that are in Christ, I'm not condemned. I'm not under the burden of sin now. I'm not going to hell now. I don't live my life under that condemnation. I don't have to pillow my head at night and wonder where I'm going. I don't have to wake up in the morning and say, well, if I get killed today, will I go to hell? I don't have to wait and see if the rapture comes, if I'm going or not. I'm saved. I'm born in the family of God. It's real in my heart. I know that I'm saved and have eternal life and shall live forever and forever. I say hallelujah. Isn't it good to be saved? If you're not saved this morning, my heart's crying to God is that you'll come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so I wanted to say that. I can't preach without preaching and telling you, you must be born again. You've got to be saved. You have to know Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior. You say, preacher, I know about him. Knowing about him is not enough. You must know him personally as your Lord and your Savior. As we were in the funeral service Wednesday and thinking about that, I'm glad that we could say that Miss Sarah left a testimony that she knew Jesus Christ personally as her Lord and Savior. As she neared the end, she talked about heaven and she's wanting to go to heaven and knew heaven was real when she wanted to get baptized and she so desired to be baptized. You know why? Because she knew she's saved and wanted to follow the Lord in baptism and do what was right. And she did that. She wanted to come to the house of God and she came. Even when she wasn't able to come, she came and sat back. I remember seeing her so well. I say praise God for that. But I want you to know today that God wants to save you. So when that time comes for you, that somebody can say, I had a great testimony of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You hear many people say when somebody dies, I know they went to heaven because they did this, they did that, they did the other. That doesn't make a bit of difference about whether they go to heaven or not. What means you go to heaven is whether or not you know Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior. That's the only way you go. You don't go on your merit, you go on his merit. You don't get there because you're good, you get there because he's good. You don't get there because you did right, you get there because he did right, does right, always is right. You do that because of the love of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm glad for that everlasting life found in Jesus Christ our Lord and our Savior. I didn't mean to preach just unsaved today, but I'm giving it a shot right now because you may be here lost and need Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord. But I'm calling your attention today to this verse of Scripture, verse number 8, and the last phrase of it, but that we receive a full reward. Now, notice what he said in that verse. And backing up on it, look to yourselves. Pay attention that we lose not those things which we have wrought. The indication is here that we that are saved may have something coming to us, but said that we lose not those things which we wrought. Not talking about salvation, but talking about rewards, but that we receive a full reward. And that's what I want to speak about and talk about that full reward. If I can just get to it, we'll get started on it. But I'm thinking about it. I'm so glad I'm saved. I don't know what to do. Amen. I want you saved. I want you to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible talks about five crowns given in the Scriptures. And you've heard me mention those, but some have not heard. So if you haven't jotted those down, jot them down and think about them. And I hope that you'll give them thought as we think about this today and talking about these crowns that we have to earn according to the Word of God. Now, let me say this before I get started on that. 1 John 2:28, and now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, that we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. There'll be some people that are ashamed of him at his coming. And I don't want to be ashamed. I want to meet him with a joy in my heart. And I have an awesome wonder of meeting him at the judgment seat. There is a certain type of fear that I have about meeting him at the judgment seat. He gave his all for me, and I certainly look at my life and come very far short of I know what I could and should be for the glory of God. You say, preacher, aren't you everything you could and should be? I don't believe there's a person sitting in this house that is everything that we could be and should be for the glory of God. There's room for improvement in any of us at any moment of time and any day of our life. Amen. And none of us have arrived at that place where that we feel like at everything that we can give to God and all that we do is what God wants us to do. So We need to understand that, but I do believe, as Paul said, we ought to reach for those things which are before us and press on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And just because we have not attained does not mean we don't want to attain, and it does not mean that we ought not to strive to attain, but we should. We're saved by grace through faith, but God help us to see ourselves that we are God's children, and God is expecting something from us. And then that day when we meet him and face him and give an account to him, then we must do that. And I do have that fear and that wonder about that, but I know it'll be all right. And in that day, I want to hear him say, well done. I want to hear him, I want to have a crown, something that we can lay at his feet and worship and adore him with. But I want you to turn with me, please, in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in chapter number 9. I want you to look at verse number 24 and verses 4. And we're going to talk about the first crown we're going to talk about now. We said after the rapture, judgment seat of Christ. Verse 24 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Know ye not that they which are running a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. Now, I was talking to Brother Jerry Heilman about the Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, and they work for salvation. But if us Baptists had the work ethic that they have and work because we love Jesus and because we want to get other people saved, it'd be untold what could be done. They do it because they're trying their best to get their work their way to heaven. And so they give all that effort unto it. But you and I ought to give our effort unto it because we're saved by grace and through faith in Christ Jesus. You say, preacher, you ought not to call other denominations. Well, I don't even call them denominations. That's cults. You say, preacher, that's mean. No, it's not mean. It's telling the truth. I don't want anybody to ever feel like those folk have any truth about them. They deny that Jesus is the Son of the living God, and that you must be born again, heaven and hell. They don't have the same concept we have about that. They have a different concept than the Bible. Fact is, they preach a different Jesus. And I'm concerned about the real Jesus, amen? And you're welcome. I thought I'd toss that out to you. And God said, don't even bid them Godspeed, amen? And say, God bless, and I'm going to say, God bless you. I'm going to pray God help you if you're in that kind of crowd, and that crowd needs help. Look at verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He said, I'm not shallow boxing. He said, I'm not beating the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. I want you to see what he's saying in these verses. Back in verse 24, he's talking about running a race. One runs, but one receives a prize. And he talks about being temperate in verse 25. And talks about bringing our bodies in verse 26. And said, so we run. And then we're not just beating the air. And then verse 27 said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. This incorruptible crown is for one that has a disciplined life. It's using athletics as an example here. Paul does that from time to time. He's talking about running in a race. And he said if they're going to run a race, they're temperate in their bodies. They get their bodies in shape. They run and they practice and they run. And they run waiting for that race to come. When the race comes, then they're ready. They can keep their breath. They know how to pace themselves. They know when to put on that extra effort to run the fastest. And they discipline themselves for that. Children that play, young folk that play sports at school, you know how you run. They make you run. The coaches make you run. That's not because they don't like you. That's to help you. That's to make you get ready so you can breathe, so you can do your best when you get out there in a game and do it. I remember back in high school and started football season. We'd go out to practice, and that first few days, I'd try to get up the next morning, and, boy, I had places sore I didn't even know I had. Amen. And I worked on a farm some, and I thought I was in pretty good shape, but I found out when they got to doing certain kind of exercises and making you get ready for what you're going to be doing later in a game, that it certainly made a difference. And I had to, you had to be temperate for that. You had to make yourself do it. It wasn't fun doing it. It wasn't enjoyable all the time. And these things they make you do that you didn't like to do. And who likes to run backwards? Who likes to get out there and hit somebody head on? Who likes to get the breath knocked out of them a time or two and lay there and grunt before you get up? I mean, that may not be fun, but it'll sure get you ready for what you're going to do. That's what he's talking about here, Christian, about this incorruptible crown, is that we bring our bodies into subjection. And in Sunday school class, the same thing was talked about. Talking about presenting ourselves to the world as Christian people, that's bringing yourself into subjection. It's like letting ourselves be brought and taught by God and brought in subjection what God wants us to be. I pray that you'll see that. God will help you. And look in 1 Corinthians 6:12. 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I'll not be brought under the power of any. He's saying now, it may not be wrong within itself. It may be something that may not necessarily be sin in itself. But if it hinders me, well, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12. And said, seeing we are compassed, verse 1, wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, he's saying, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Now, that's what he's talking about back here in 1 Corinthians. He's talking about our bodies being brought into subjection, and that we're yielding our bodies. Remember Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And that's saying a mouthful when you say that. But God put it in his word, and God expects us as his people, his children, and we're looking now toward the judgment seat of Christ, and to receive the incorruptible crown, to bring our bodies in subjection, and that we discipline ourselves and let the Holy Spirit help us discipline ourselves, that we may be the people of God that God gets glory out of and be what he wants us to be. Now, there's not a one of us in this house that likes to do that. We like to let ourselves go. We like to not always discipline ourselves as we should and be sensitive to being a witness for Christ and doing the things that God would have us to do. But may God help us in doing that. I want to give you one more crown this morning. We'll come back tonight, or whenever God will let us do so. But I want you to look in the book of James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 12. I want you to see this verse of scripture and what it says about this crown of life. James 1:12 says, blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. He shall receive the crown of life of those that love him. He promised it to those that love him. It said, endureth temptation. Now, two types of temptation. That Bible uses temptation in the sense that we're Job was tempted, but it wasn't because of to do evil, but because he was tried. He had problems and being in tribulation, that kind of thing, and being tried that way as a temptation the Bible speaks of. And Job did well through his and come out a winner in it, but there's others that break under it. How we handle that problems, how we handle things in our life, God's looking at that, how we let that affect us. And it either causes us to get closer to God, or we get bitter about it and get away from God. God help us that we handle problems in the right way. I'll be honest with you, and you'll have to be honest with me. I'm sure that there's been times we had problems that we did not handle right. We got upset about, or we simply didn't do what we should have done, or submitted ourselves as we should have submitted ourselves, or said, God, help me keep a right kind of spirit through this situation that I'm now in. You say, preacher, I've never been in any bad situation. You just wait around a few minutes or a few days or a few weeks or a few months, and you'll be in one. And you'll be facing something in your life that you'll have to deal with as a Christian. And how you deal with it as a Christian is going to determine about this crown of life that God talks about here in the scripture in James chapter 1 verse 12. And so it's a disciplined life. It's a life that we learn to deal with and let God help us in it, that we might deal with it in the way to bring glory to Him and magnify Him. I've seen people, and you have too, they'd have a certain problem come by and they blame God for it, or they get bitter against God, or they quit serving God, and they just leave God out of it. Then there's been other folk who have had similar problems or same problem, and they say, God, help me learn what I need to learn from this. Help me be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. Help me follow you and do what you want me to do. Then God would bless them, and they would come out at the end of it better than they were in the beginning. And God always strengthens us in the times of temptation. And He helped. Then there's temptation to do evil. And I believe God rewards us for not doing that. And He said He'd always make a way of escape for us. There's no temptation taken man but such as common to man. But God's faithful. Didn't say we were, said God is. But God's faithful will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. I believe that God always helps His children bear the temptation. Amen. And so we praise God and thank God for the reality of that. And I want you to look in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. He says, for consider that him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. He said, consider what Christ did. Then verse number 4. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. He said, if Christ resisted and did what He did, then surely you ought to be able, by His grace and by His help, to endure and do what Christ wants you to do. I want you to look in 1 Peter 1, 7, and I bring it to a close. 1 Peter 1, 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now he said at the appearing, the judgment seat. He said the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold. You're going through the fire. You're going through a situation. You're going through something that is really bad. I want you to know God said that it might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we'll look to Him, He'll help us. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody's looking. Just myself and God. We're talking about the judgment seat of Christ. We're talking about the fact we're saved by grace through faith. We're children of God. But someday we'll have to face Jesus. Now let me say to you that are unsaved, you'll have to face Jesus also at the great white throne judgment. And now you'll bow. Too late to get saved, but you will bow. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody's looking but myself and God. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to try to come to you. I'm not going to try to make you do anything. I'm simply going to try to help you for a moment. I wonder right now, how many in the house could honestly say without a question, preacher, I know I'm saved. Would you hold your hand up high for the glory of God? I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Praise God, that's good. Thank you so very much. Thank you so very much. But not everybody could raise your hand. Not everybody could respond to that because not everybody's saved. Not everybody knows Jesus as your Savior. Friend, my heart cries out to God to help you. Don't let somebody or anything keep you away from coming to Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Jesus said, come unto me all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest.
Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which is lost. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Jesus also said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. And so today, be a good day to break that pride, to break down anything that stands between you and God, and come and say, I want to be saved. I want to bow before Jesus Christ this side of eternity and give my heart and life to him and be saved. Then there may be those here today that's saved, and you know God's speaking to your heart about your life. It's not discipline. It's not where God wants it to be. You're going through something. You're allowing things in your life, or whatever it is. Maybe going through something, not letting God help you. Or it may be that you are just allowing things that ought not to be. But God's speaking to you, and God's dealing with your life. Why don't you let God help you? Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd help all who are listening here today. Touch their hearts, touch their lives. I pray the Holy Ghost, God, would work inside. God, do that that I can't do. Do that nobody else can do. I pray, Father, that the message, the Word of God, and thinking about meeting Jesus someday, Father, that they will respond and will let you have your way in Jesus' name. Amen.